future is now. And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host in the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Today's show is going to have a slightly different format. We're going to be talking about when the EOS mainnet is going to be activated and what is needed for the activation to occur. So with me, I have Oliver Mair, our in-house blockchain analyst. Oliver, how's it going?
It's going great, Charles. Thanks, first of all, for having me on the show. I love what you're doing with the podcast. I think the new format's working really, really well, and it's a lot more engaging and relevant for our audience. So great job on that front. Myself, personally, I've been working on a lot of EOS-related projects today. Obviously, with the mainnet voting now ongoing, it's a hot topic amongst the community. And in today's show, I think we should really delve into some of the topics that have been talked about a lot, in at least our Telegram channel, as well as others. Which is related to block producer incentives, which block producers are going to be maybe the top 21, and also how and when is this mainnet launch going to occur?
So at the minute, Oliver, the state of affairs, would you be so kind to break it down? From my understanding, you have to hear me out, and from my knowledge on this, is that for this to be launched, it's not going through a central point of authority. It's not going to be a flick of a switch, for example. The community are launching the EOS mainnet. Now, for that to occur, voting has to happen, if I'm correct. So would you be so kind to elaborate on the voting and where we are now with the voting?
Yeah, so you're 100% correct. Block One are not going to be launching the EOS mainnet. So the EOS mainnet launch is going to be down to the community to launch the first chain. And so 21 producers have come together, at least, to form the first chain. They've booted up the blockchain, and now we're in a situation where there's a lot more than 21 block producers. So how do we decide on which 21 are going to be the first 21 to start this blockchain, right? So to make it simple, EOS has a billion tokens. They need 15% of those tokens to be staked on this chain for it to become active. So currently, the only transactions on this blockchain are voting transactions. Any other transactions have been disabled until we get 150 million votes. And to give you an idea, we're currently at 111 EOS votes.
I'm with you. So we're looking for 150 million votes, about 111 at the minute. Got that. So there's 21, you call them producers, block producers. So would you be so kind to elaborate on what a block producer does and their role within the community itself and their role within the activation of the mainnet?
Yeah. So let's go back a little bit. So there's one block producer called the appointed block producer who starts the blockchain, right? And then these 21 block producers, their job is to validate all the transactions coming onto the network and to make sure that there's consensus on the network and just to make sure that there's no bad actors and to keep the network running, you know, as transactions and blocks are propagated. So the incentive structure for block producers, it's almost like, why do you want to be one of these 21? Well, EOS has a built-in 5% annual inflation, of which 1% of that will be given to block producers. And it's not just the 21 block producers who actually create blocks who get paid. In fact, 121 of these producers get paid. So how it breaks down is like this. The 21 block producers get paid on two fronts. They get paid firstly for creating blocks, and they get paid based on the number of votes they've received from the community. Outside of this 21, the other 100 block producers, they don't create any blocks, right? So they only get paid for the number of votes they've received from the community. And EOS has done this because if you imagine that the other 100 block producers aren't getting paid, if one of these 21 block producers drop out, they need someone to replace them, and the block producer that replaces them, they need to have sufficient capital to make sure they've got the right computational resources to ensure that the network still produces at a high, you know, still runs at a high performance.
That's great. And if you look at the overall block producers themselves, I believe there's around 298 at present. So you're referring to the 21, but the 21 aren't actually confirmed as of yet. So do you want to explain what's going on there? I know there's a lot of moving around on the leaderboard, which you religiously follow on a day-to-day basis. Would you be so kind to let the listeners know how does someone get into the 21 in the 21 zone for a block producer, and how that really works?
Right, so it's all totally community driven. So anyone who holds an EOS token can vote on any one of these 298 block producers. So really it comes down to, what are these block producers offering the community in terms of, are they providing more exposure to projects? Are they incubating projects? Are they putting on hackathons or creating facilities for people to learn more about EOS? What are they doing to benefit the EOS ecosystem as a whole? So really, that's aside from doing their block producing duties, what are they doing to help the community? And this really is dictating who's in the top 21. So we've seen that the voting has been quite slow. I think that a lot of people thought that the mainnet was going to be just launched and live within a few days. But I think it's important to remember that not many people have actually had to use the tokens that they hold in their wallets for any kind of utility. Usually you buy a token and you hold it and, you're not required to do anything. And now EOS is actually requiring you to vote on which producers you want to sustain the network. And so there's that factor. And then there's the other factor that a lot of EOS tokens are held on exchanges. And so these exchanges have locked those tokens, and that has stopped people from being able to use them to vote.
Whoa. So just to elaborate on what you're saying there, that and I'm kind of trying to play like the other side to this, just so their listeners get the best experience and they can understand the most. So a lot of people aren't voting on EOS, we're not using the EOS tokens to vote. And I know that because people come up to us every single day asking us when the mainnet's going to be live, and we ask them if they vote and they say no. It's like, we know that firsthand. So the point you're making there is that exchanges who hold people's EOS tokens, and at the minute they're locked in there. So if Binance, I know you can't deposit or withdraw your EOS tokens, and what's happening, and these exchanges are holding large amounts of tokens, are then going to use the tokens to vote for themselves as block producers? And I'm kind of hinting at Bitfinex here, or how do you foresee that going down? Because I know we speak to the Bitfinex guys a lot, and I know that you're very up to speed with that process.
Sure. So at the moment, exchanges like Binance, they aren't looking to use their clients' tokens to vote. They're actually just waiting for one chain to be established as the active chain. So once 150 million votes has been reached, Binance will then start considering unlocking those tokens, because they understand that that one chain is the main EOS chain. So they're not in the picture for voting. However, Bitfinex is doing something slightly different. Bitfinex have had a vote with their clients, and they have about 73 million EOS tokens at Bitfinex, right? And so they're looking for 11 million votes from their clients to allow them to basically stake their clients' tokens on the top 30 block producers. So I think they've almost reached the 15% threshold they need. So once they reach that 15%, Bitfinex will take their clients' tokens and they'll vote on the top 30 in an equal proportion in order to get this chain active, because they've seen how slow the voting process has been up to this point.
And I mean, one of the things we've kind of missed here is, why would someone vote for a block producer? Like, as a community member who holds some EOS tokens, like, why would I care about, like, not if I vote for a block producer, because obviously you want to get the mainnet live and you want the mainnet to work and you want it to all function correctly, but why would I choose, let's say, EOS Authority, who are a London-based block producer, we know the guys there, or EOS 42, another London-based block producer? Why would I choose EOS 42 over EOS Authority? What's going to help my decision process within that, and what's to incentivize myself as a community member to vote for them?
So obviously there's a few points there. I mean, the first one is obviously geographic location. If you're based in London, then you've probably been to a few of the EOS meetups where a lot of the London-based block producers are at, and you've met with them, you've got a relationship with them, then you'll feel incentivized to vote. Beyond that, it's all about what kind of hardware are they bringing. So the better hardware they can provide, the faster they'll be able to run the main net, and the more scope they'll be able to kind of increase the performance, right? So I mean, I'm talking about things like, have they got in their own in-house servers, or are they using like a Google Cloud or a Microsoft Azure setup? And then beyond that, it's even more like, what kind of things are they doing for the community? Are they creating opportunities to incubate programs? Are they going to put on events for the community? You know, because it's very important that people kind of read into the mandates of each of these block producers, because ultimately these will be the guys who will maintain the validity of the blockchain. So it's, you know, the whole value of EOS is really dependent on there being no malicious actors and making sure that everything runs smoothly and as well as possible.
That makes perfect sense. Incentivize the community. I know a lot of different block producers out there have different strategies on how to do that. I know some are holding, as you mentioned, free EOS community events. I think it's important that you draw the line between the two, because I think the EOS name and the logo is not copyrighted or trademarked, so everyone kind of uses that and kind of incorporates their own name and company logo within that. So it's pretty cool to see the artworks that come out, and I know a few different Telegram groups are there that all about pushing that. So that's pretty cool. I think if you take another step back and you look at the situation, so we're waiting on the block producers. We're waiting on people to vote for the block producers, which is great. But I think, you know, the delayed activation of the EOS mainnet is definitely something that we should focus on. Wow. I mean, as we're talking about this, it's literally just been activated, right?
Yeah.
Woohoo! We've been reloading the screen every second since we started the podcast. It literally has just been activated. So do you want to break down, Oliver, since we're now live, who is going to be the block producers? Who are they? What they do? Where they're from? And yeah, let's kick it off via that.
So number one spot, EOS Canada. And then we go through, right? So EOS Authority, EOS DAC, EOS New York, EOS Cafe, EOS Canon, EOS Liquid, EOS 42, Bitfinex EOS, EOS Huobi, EOS Gravity, Cypherglass, Argentina EOS, EOS Korea, EOS Brazil, EOS Sweden, EOS Beijing, EOS Seoul, yeah. EOS Meet One, EOS Storebest, and EOS Asia. So those are your top 21 block producers, and they are now operating on an active chain, which is amazing. So obviously, as we were doing this podcast, we were looking at it at like 111, and the only thing I can think of that would have caused the vote to go up this much in such a short space of time is perhaps our friends over at Bitfinex, who are activating the chain and unleashing some of their tokens that they hold for their clients onto the mainnet. So that's really cool to see.
I think people really underestimate a Bitfinex as well, because naturally the way they get paid as an exchange is by points of exchange. So if I was to buy into EOS, or I was to sell out of EOS, they would take a percentage of those tokens. Now, where do those tokens go? Well, you got it right. They go to Bitfinex's own wallet. So from all the exchanges that have happened over the year, from all the small fees that they charge, that goes into their own wallet. And then basically they have the ability to use those EOS tokens to vote for themselves, because they are their own tokens. They're not using anyone else's. They rightfully earned those. I think it's super exciting that the community had to launch this project. And for that to happen, I think the amount of organization that it takes for each entity, and these entities, as you just read out, Oliver, are all over the world. You have EOS Authority, that's in London, EOS Canada, which is obviously in Canada, EOS Sweden, EOS Beijing, EOS Seoul. These guys are all around the world, and they all have to get their own communities to vote for them. So I think it's great for London, especially. We've got two entities, two block producers now from the UK and London that are going to be doing this. And I've met both those guys. So big shout out to EOS 42, big shout out to EOS Authority. And, well, Bigfoot X are based in London, but the team live here. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll take that as well. There's three blog producers in London that have got through. I mean, our presence is felt now, as it always is of SVK Crypto, our hometown, London, the United Kingdom. Well, listen, I mean, I don't think we have much now to talk about in regards to the blog producers. So what happens now, Oliver? The mainnet's live. What's next? Like, what does this mean?
So now they're going to unlock transactions, so people actually start to be able to transact on the EOS blockchain. You'll be able to transfer tokens between each other. You'll obviously have to unstake your tokens from the staking portal to actually vote on these block producers. But once you've done that, you'll be able to send tokens to other people on the EOS mainnet. I fully expect now the various exchanges to start to unlocking those tokens and recognizing this chain as the main EOS chain. And obviously the ERC20 tokens now locked, you'll receive your EOS tokens on this new chain, and then everything's upside from there. It's dApps can be created on the chain, more users can come on board, and hopefully this network just starts to take off.
I want to say a big shout out to everyone that participated as a block producer and everyone listening and the EOS community as a whole. I think this is huge. This is now live. This took over a year to make this happen with the year-long ICO. EOS is live, EOS is here, and EOS is here to stay. So big thank you to the community. We look forward to meeting you all at our next event, which is this Tuesday. Myself and Oliver will definitely be speaking. Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto, will be speaking as well, along with Rong Chen from Elastos and their lead developer. So listen, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time, your attention as always. Remember to stay tuned. And as always, remember to join our socials. Join us, hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. Hit us up on Twitter at SVK_crypto. And hit us up on YouTube, www.youtube.com/SVK crypto. And if you're really on your game, you'd email myself, cstory@SVK crypto or cstory@SVK crypto.com. Thank you so much. That's a wrap.
SVK Crypto Podcast Original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.